Welcome to the Spark Girls podcast, a self-publishing podcast for authors. You're in the right place for the best writing, marketing, and publishing advice, plus interviews with industry experts and best-selling authors. I'm Cheryl Phipps.
I'm Shar Barrett.
I'm Wendy Vella.
And I'm Trudy Jane.
And then Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody!
Yeah.
A new page.
2023, here you are. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this year is going to be awesome, and we're going to start off on the right foot by doing some planning. And we've got this themed episode we're very excited about today.
A lot of work has been gone into this theme. Can I just point that out? Not by myself or Wendy.
No. I mean, no. It was Cheryl's idea, the genius idea. So none of us can take credit for that. But it's New Year, New You, done in the style of a rom-com. So the rom-com bit was Cheryl's idea, which I loved, so I did it. There's a guy called Billy Murnett. He wrote a book, and it's apparently the ultimate book on writing a rom-com, and it's called Writing the Romantic Comedy, strangely enough.
Weirdly.
So we're going to use the beats that he suggests, the seven beats that are in his book for how to write a romantic comedy, and we're going to use those to help us plan for 2023. So you're going to get to learn how to write a rom-com and also plan for your year.
Would you get it anywhere else? No, I'm just saying, I could possibly post fries out if anyone wants some. It might be gross by the time you get them. Talk about upsizing, the value of that, like the humor value of
someone, like, if I post you the fries wherever you are, you have to open them on camera and show how gross and moldy they are, and then I will happily do it. I will post fries.
No, that's I think we take a vote on that one, and I think it's pretty clear that that's a three against one.
Okay, yeah. No fries. So, I'm sorry. I tried, you guys. I tried.
So you will get no fries with this, okay? But what you will do?
No,
unless you make them yourself.
All right. Okay. I think we should add a disclaimer to the website or something.
There will be no fries.
There will never be any fries ever.
But we are happy to ship Trudy over. So
yes.
That could be.
I would love that. A little bit of a holiday. As long as it's a first class shipping on the front of the car.
It'll be on the front of the plane, all right.
inside the plane.
We all know that I'm standing on top of it like they used to in the old days. On the wing, you know, she would, right?
Yeah, she would.
If anyone was going to do it.
All right, stop right now.
We're silly already.
It's a silly season. We've just finished the silly season. Okay, so beat number one is called The Chemical Equation, or The Setup. And so that, you know, I think your favourite rom-com, Notting Hill, and it's not my favourite rom-com at all. It's just the first one that comes to mind. And that's all about, where does it start? What's it like? What's the ordinary world kind of thing? And there's a setup and there's a thing. So for us, for our planning, it's how do you want your year to look? What makes you happy? What are your big goals? What's the setup of your writing career for this year? How are you going to grow? So it's just those basic intro questions that you need to ask yourself about so that you know when you're doing your planning, what you're planning for, right? So
yeah,
so some examples of what we could be, I'm going to earn $50,000 this year, or I'm going to start writing in a new genre, or I'm going to start doing TikToks or something like that. I mean,
I'm going to write six books, and I'm going to write every day, or I'm going to write 3 days a week, and those days I'm going to do 2,000 words a day or 1,000 words a day. So set those goals and set the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So has anyone got any other goals, any specifics that they know that they're going to do in this year?
I liked all those ones. They were good.
I was just going to say that maybe making a decision, you know, like I could do this and I could do that, you know, like to write it down is a big step.
Yes.
A big step. And I think that's the only way you can actually move forward is to see it, and then you can visualize it properly, you know, like expand on it. And then that's how you just start, because you know where you're going.
Yeah.
Or you know what you're starting with.
Yeah,
I think simplifying things is my goal this year. I'm not quite as simplifying needing to simplify as you, Trudy Elf, but I need to.
Did anyone understand? I understood what she said, but I don't think it was actually a full sentence.
No. Okay. So anyway, I want to simplify because while I do try to keep things simple, but I have so much to do and I stress if I don't get it done. And, you know, I open my eyes, get my laptop, start doing my TikToks, you know, like it's, I want to be able to have downtime and not be angry with myself for downtime, I guess is where I'm going.
Nice.
With
that. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's good. That's taking the pressure off, not just simplification, but taking the pressure off yourself.
Yeah.
And kind of knowing that you can still earn money without having to be working every hour of the day.
Yeah. Too much work, not enough time.
Mine is, I had written down clarity, focus, and leveling up were my three things, and also simplification was because, you know, we've got to have lots of things. cutting through the bull, leap to the essence and getting the job done. And, yeah, so that was, I thought that was quite cool.
Nice. All right.
Okay.
What about you, Shebe? Have you got anything?
Just prioritising. I, you know, I like to think that I'm very organised. It's not quite the same thing.
And you are.
Yeah, but it's not quite the same thing because you can be organised and yet not quite get the priorities right. So there's my goal.
That's true.
That's very true. That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm going with that one. I like that one. I'll borrow that.
Okay, awesome. So the next one, the next beat is the meet cute. This is always the best bit in the rom-com, I'm just saying. So it's the catalyst. It's the thing that's going to get you going. And so for our purposes, it's what are the one or two big things that you're going to do that will be the catalyst to the changes that you want to make this year in your writing career? So if you were going to earn more money, maybe it's setting up ads. And if you're going to write in a new genre, maybe it's reading books in that new genre. And if you're going to start doing TikTok, maybe it's doing a course in TikTok. You know, those kinds of things. Like, what's the thing that's going to – so if you're going to be prioritizing, what are you going to do? If you're going to be simplifying, what are you going to – you know, how are you going to get started on those things? So do we have some answers for that?
I have an answer to this one, and it's something that's come through really clearly. And towards the end of 2022, we had a number of, well, we always have successful authors on, but it's the theme was people were reading in their genre that they're writing, which standard advice, but it was the newer books in the genre that, you know, were being published, not necessarily the, you know, fan favourites from 20 years ago. And I've noticed with my own reading that I'm rereading things and I'm not keeping up with the newer books published out in my preferred genre, which is paranormal romance. So that is my, that's my meet cute. I want to, or cute meat, or meat in the sandwich. That's what I need to do.
Update
or get with the program in terms of my reading. And not as a punishment, but as a joy.
Well, it's also research, isn't it? So I think you can read. You can read for two different reasons. You can read purely for the love of it, or you can read for research. But that doesn't necessarily exclude loving it, right? So because you're reading in a genre that you love anyway. So
that's true. Yeah, and I also think that for a lot of us, the last few years without going, in the after times as we call them. For me, a lot of it is rewatching programs, like rewatching Friends, rewatching, Big Bang Theory, rereading books, because you kind of know there's less brain power needed in it. There's less an emotional kind of energy needed because you know it. And I think you have to work a little bit harder with new things, and I'm ready to work harder with new things.
Because there's this comfort in watching something where you know how it ends.
Absolutely.
And knowing that there's not going to be any unpleasant or uncomfortable surprises.
Yep.
Like, I was watching something new last night on Netflix and I was like, I was almost tensed. Like, and I was fast forwarding ahead just to check and make sure that, you know how you can put the thing on the bottom just to make sure there's nothing.
Like that. I can't watch anything that,
It was Jack Ryan, and I know that, you know, those kind of thrillery things, and they're all kind of, but, you know, people die, and people, they set you up and make you like people, and then they kill them off and stuff like that. And I was a little bit like, oh, I like this person. So I was just making sure they didn't die, which they did. Yeah. So, you know.
Have you ever watched Game of Thrones then?
No. Never watched episodes. Never gonna.
No.
Anyway. No. So this is why I like rom-coms. So, just to complete this aside over for nothing, what's everyone's favourite meet cute in a rom-com ever? Like, I carried a watermelon, people. How good is that one? When she first meets Johnny in Dirty Dancing, when she goes up to the dancing area and then she goes to Johnny, I carried a watermelon. And then she's like, I carried a watermelon. Like,
yeah. That's a good one.
That's hilarious. I love that.
That's a very good one.
I love Bridget Jones's Diary. I can't beat that one.
What was that one?
Anything with Colin Firth and a Christmas sweater is a good.
Is that how they first met?
I can't remember. I just remember. Yeah, no, he was the neighbour, wasn't he? Or somebody.
Were they in their Christmas sweaters at a Christmas party?
At the Christmas party.
And they hated each other on site. That's right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, awesome. I can't think of any other ones at all there, Trudel. Sorry.
Yeah, you got any? No. Okay. Don't worry.
Moving on.
Okay, so beat three is the sexy complication.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So that's the turning point. So this is where what are the distractions or complications that you can see that you might come across in the execution of these goals and ideas?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do to mitigate that? So this is kind of future casting, like where you might fall down. So if you want to simplify, what are the things or the thing where are you going to want to complicate things or do more? Or
I think life, to be honest.
I just
want to say, you know, grandchildren, children, illness,
but that's what you want to add in though, Wendy. If you're making
But what I'm saying is I can have the best laid plans, right? Yes. I'm going to get up at 6 and write for 2 hours and then I'm going to have a break and sit and have a coffee and then I'm going to write for 2 more and then the phone goes.
Yeah.
But then my word count for that day is out the windows. That means the next day it doubles because I've got a goal, weekly goal.
And what if you don't answer the phone for those 2 hours? Is that not
I'm sorry, your mother's in hospital. I have to answer those ones, you know, like that's just.
Yeah, you have to. Or the grandkids.
But
you know,
also like family's priority over everything. I mean, work is important, but family is the boss dog, you know, in my life. Yeah. So what I have to do is I have to keep myself on my best game that I can. So that is get enough sleep, get enough exercise. I have to eat well. I have to keep my brain sharp and I keep myself happy and then I can fit it all in.
Mm.
And then when those eventualities, what are they called? Whatever, pop up, catastrophes, life pops up. I'm like, okay, swivel, adjust, pivot.
Pivot. I also think there's a bit of mindset in there, like because part of what you said before was that you get annoyed with yourself for not finishing or doing the things that you said you would. And I feel like you maybe part of it is also just cutting yourself some slack and saying,
yeah,
it's okay if you don't get to do every single little thing. And maybe it's a little bit of shares prioritization, like saying these are the most important things. And if I don't get these other things because of family and other stuff, that's okay. And I'm not going to beat myself up.
I'm not a cut myself. I don't cut myself slack.
Yeah, well, maybe we need to practice that, Wendy. I'm just saying.
That's part of self-care.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Just saying. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's
what about
cool.
you, Cher? What are you going to do to... What's your
complication? How are you going to prioritise?
Yeah,
I think it has to be getting things to the right level, you know, like for instance, you know, I've opened up a shop and I just opened it up and I didn't really do much to it. And things happened and I wanted to join my website with it and there was like a lot of learning to do and I had decided that I was going to put 4 books out and actually – the shop just went on hold so I could get my 4 books done, which I did.
Way to go.
So, you know, trade off and not beating myself up. I'm disappointed. I'm still disappointed. Even today, I'm still disappointed. But it's not the end of the world. I can come back bigger and stronger. So,
we can rebuild it.
It'll happen.
And also the lessons that you learned in it, the learning, is doesn't go away. Like you've done that. You know, you're ahead of the curve now from where you were before.
And the books were their priority. So you were kind of already prioritising.
That's the thing, isn't it? In the moment you have to decide I have to let something go to make this other stuff happen.
And I think, like, I mean, I don't know what about you, Cher, but, like, for me, I remember I did my planning a couple of weeks ago and for this year and versus my planning for last year, this year I was a lot clearer and I was a lot – I looked back on what I was thinking that I could do last year and I just thought I could do everything, you know what I mean? This year's plans feel like they're just a little bit more – reasonable, and it's not because I'm lowering my standards or anything like that. It's just I'm kind of just a bit more aware of what I can do and not putting my problem was always putting too much on myself. I wanted to do everything right away and then you don't end up doing anything.
That's exactly what happened.
So true.
And I think the fault lies in actually not breaking it down further into actionable things because until you do something once you don't know how long it takes.
Yeah, so true.
You have no idea, no concept of it. So that's where you need to cut yourself some slack, really, is if you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So now you do.
Very true.
Yeah.
Good advice. Yeah.
So for my one was clarity, and that whole planning thing that I'm talking about just from before is I did that with a coach, and she was just like, wow, that took like a quarter of an hour compared to like 3 hours from last year. Like I am so much more clear and focused in terms of what I'm doing, and I kind of have this much stronger idea. And I just think it's just that I'm a little bit more focused, but I know myself a bit better. I've watched myself over this last year, and I kind of know what I'm capable of and what I can do, and I'm not going to overload myself. I'm not going to stress over trying to do everything in January when I know that I'm going to go on holiday with my family. You know, like there's just...
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing that these are things that are going to happen. Yeah, so stuff like that, I think that's...
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, so lack of time is one I wrote down too also. So and also my brain confusing me and sending me into chaos and confusion. And chaos and confusion is my big one. So trying to stay clear and focused versus chaos and confusion. And it's just like if I feel it happening, it's just stop, take a breath, and kind of get clear again, you know. So
that's something that's very, very important, because I don't think there's an author alive that hasn't felt that. And yet probably will feel it in the future, but it's knowing when to cut it off at the knees.
To recognize it, eh?
You do feel the panic well up when things get away from you too. And for me, when I get something done, I'm like, okay, I've got a gap now. I must jam something into that gap.
Really?
Yeah. You know, So like I jammed another book in this year, you know, like I could have had a massive big break, but I jammed it in there because I was sitting there. I actually physically can't just sit there.
No.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Panic, you know, like,
I think that's training. I think you have to train yourself to actually enjoy the downtime.
Isn't it funny?
Anyway.
So that's number three. Number four is the hook or the midpoint. So this is about in a movie, you know, it's the hook, it's the mid that, you know, often it's a black moment or something big happens. It's the point of no return, that kind of thing. But for us in our planning, it is, what is your why? What will keep you going? What will hook you into your chosen path for this year? So what is the reason that you're doing this? What is the reason that, you know, when it gets hard and when you feel like you're procrastinating or that you've got too much on and you can't, or something happens and it derails you and you, or you've devolved into chaos or whatever it is, what's going to keep you going? So we all know that, right? We've all talked about, you know, your why, we've done all this stuff.
I think, like you said before, it's knowing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you can trick yourself into all kinds of things. What's in your head, you know, that whole mindset, you can talk yourself out of stuff in the blink of an eye if you really don't want to do it. And even if you do want to do it, you know, finding reasons, putting barriers up to not do it. It's absolutely crazy, and we all do it.
Yeah, we all do. I think that's the key, is recognize that everybody is very similar in that. It's not you alone that if you're thinking like that. And we've mentioned you before, but Mel Robbins talks about something like, and I don't know what the exact is, so I'm completely screwing up the facts here, but the general gist is that you have an idea or have a thought. It might be, okay, I'm gonna go for a walk, and then the brain kicks in and doesn't want you to do it. Like, it's like it gives you another, or you should be doing another 50,000 words writing, or, you know, something like
write
that.
Another
book,
got
30 seconds between, and I'm pretty sure it's either five, it's some infinitesimal amount of time, and everybody does it.
Yeah,
it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
So, and that's why she invented the 5 second rule. So, like I say, I'm going to put the link into it.
I think we have more self doubt as writers than a lot of people.
Yeah,
and that is an observation. Over time, talking to other writers, you know, like, and even talking to my husband, and I mean, men are different beasts completely, but, you know, I can be sitting there thinking about something and I'll say da 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 da, and he's like, what? Where did that come from? You know, or I'll be laying in bed and we'll just be chatting, and then he's like, I can hear your brain just going, ping, 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 you know, and he's like, just calm down, man, the world is not going to end, you know, like, and I think. Yeah. having someone in your life who can talk you down is a great thing too. Like even like with each other, we do it with each other. But yeah, and the mind is crazy. Mine is insane. You know, I have the facade of being quite normal. It's just not the reality, you know.
I think people now have realized we need
That's the truth, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, and I think when any of that happens, or when you've got your crazy moments or whatever, knowing your why keeps you going, right?
Yeah, and that's like family again. Like, it's family. It's my, you know, my husband's retired. It's living the life we want. It's being comfortable. It's making sure we're set up for retirement. You know, it's all those things. But underneath it all, it's also the love of what I do.
Yeah. And you know, actually a little bit of gratefulness too for the fact that we
Just that, you know, I think for a while there, and when we went through COVID we went through all of that, I actually really lost a lot of that, a lot of me, and a lot of the reason I write. I would sit down and I'd look at the computer and go, well, I don't want to do this today, you know, like, you know, but whereas I'm back to, this is quite good.
I don't think you're alone in that.
Totally not alone. Yeah.
No, it and felt weird to be like having.
Yeah, it does.
Well, because my hope for this year is to have fun. I want to have fun.
Yeah, girls just want to have fun, right?
Girls just want to have fun. Yeah.
But I think, you just have bad days too, right?
Yeah.
And I think, and that's that whole, for me, and I think all of us are a little bit like that. Trudy's dancing. It's making me feel quite ill because it's nausea. It's making me. But anyway, I can't remember. I've lost my train of thought because Trudy was dancing completely. Where was I going, people? Where was I going? Girls just want to have fun.
Getting back to it and then the joy and that.
Oh, the joy. Yeah. But I just, for me, it's just about actually liking what I do. That wasn't what I was going to say. It was so poignant and awesome.
I'm sure it was really important.
It was, and it'll come back. It will come back.
In about an hour, once
throw
we finish
it in at some stage.
And then I remember when we had Lee Savino, she talked about loving your books and how important it was to love your books. And it was the first time I'd actually, I think, ever heard an author articulate that quite that way. And it really kind of hit me. And it's like, she's right.
I remember talking to Narlene Singh about it. And she said, do you reread your books? At a group we were sitting chatting, and she said, reread your books? And I said, yes, all of them. And I really give them about a year before I go back to them, but I really enjoyed them. And there were a few authors at the table that said, no, they didn't. And to me, it's a really important thing. If you can't like them,
who else is going to?
Let's move on. We've got probably a lot higher for ourselves.
Excellent.
So what comes next, Trudy?
Okay, number five is beat five is the swivel. The second turning point is a swivel,
swivel.
So the swivel is often, I'm trying to think what that means in terms of rom-coms, but I don't really know. I think it's like, you know, another complication, something happens and keeps them apart. But in terms of what, for our process, it is, what will be the marker of success for you? How will you know you're on track as you go through the year? So how will you know that you have been as productive as you have, it's not a P word called productive, it's a P word called prioritizing.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Right. Sorry, I was trying to think what your one was. So what else, simplification, like how will you know that you have succeeded in those goals?
Mm-hmm.
Or read more romance.
Yeah. Or
money.
publishing when you said you would.
Are you making the money that you made the year before? Has it grown? Does that make me sound mercenary?
No, not at all. I think not.
A perfectly reasonable thing to want in your career.
Well, it's not just that. It's, you know, somebody's got to put the groceries on the table. And
I was going to say, love doesn't do it.
It's not with love and tenderness from health and gardening, sadly for me. But I think for those of us who, like myself, tend to overthink absolutely everything, including what brand of toilet paper I to buy. The HB90 system, which I use for Sarah Cannon, but it's not, it's also a book called The 12-Week Year. It's planning it in smaller, like a 12-week block, so four quarters. And that's a good way of, if you're in the swivel point, you can actually in the processes that you pause at the end of that 12 weeks and you look at what you set up to do, look what you didn't do, because there's always stuff you didn't do and how you can rejig. And it doesn't feel like so huge. It just, because it's very easy to kind of lose track of things. And I find that method works really well, and it's very popular with writers. Yeah. So it's a heart breathings. I'm just writing this down as I talk. Heart breathings channel on YouTube, and it's Sarah Cannon's HB90 system.
Okay.
And that partially goes a little bit back to what Cheryl was saying earlier about how not just having the bigger goals, but breaking it down into smaller things. And I think you can use that also in a similar vein to HB90, is to go, like, you know, assess every quarter, say, or even half a year or something, and look back to the list of things that you had that you were going to do underneath your main, like if you're going to look after this, do something on the shop, and then you had it broken down into smaller chunks for what you're doing. Just how much of that have you marked off? And is that, you know, what does success look like? And maybe know from the very beginning what success looks like. Like, don't just go get to mid-year and go, oh, successful, when you didn't actually nominate or know what that success looked like from the very beginning. Because I think that's what a lot of people do too. You get to the, and you forget about all the things you have done, and you go, oh, but I didn't do this other thing, and forget to be happy about, oh my God, but I did all these other things. You know, I did all this amazing stuff. That was totally on my list. So just remember that's what that one is about, just making sure that you know and appreciate and understand that you have been working and doing stuff.
It is. Okay. Just going back and looking, seeing what you've done, write down what you've achieved if you feel you haven't achieved everything, and you'd surprise yourself, I think.
You could be like Shah and write it down at the end of the week.
I write it down as I go.
Yeah.
I keep I call it achievies, but an achievements thing. And even if it's something like I bought XYZ software, I did whatever it is, it doesn't matter how big or small, you write it down. And it's when you're having those moments where you think, oh man, I'm just spinning my wheels, I've done nothing, I haven't moved, you look at that. Highly recommend.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so beat number six is the dark moment, the crisis and climax.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. So this is in the movies, we always know it's the bit where they kind of break up, or they hate each other, or there's something happens and they can never be together, and we're all like devastated because it seems so perfect.
No!
And, oh my gosh. I've been not now anymore, but before Christmas, I was watching all the you know, the Christmas movies.
Yeah, there's some really good ones out.
Anyway, moving on. Okay, so what do you need to do each month to ensure that your goal at the end of the year will be achieved? What will you do if you're not making those monthly goals? How will you assess the execution of your goal? So it's kind of a little bit the same as what we were just talking about, but
I think it's often too, sometimes it's outside forces kick in here. It might be a new trend that you feel like you should have hopped on, but you haven't. Do you do it or don't you do it? Or it might be, you know, hearing about another author that's had this blazing success in whatever form of advertising it is, and it's something that can pull you away from kind of your where you're going, or make you question.
So what's the kind of crisis moments, I guess? Or is it
often it involves other things, or there could be things like, you know, maybe Amazon changes or algorithm, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Or people asking you to do things, you know.
Yeah.
Come and do this. And you think, shiny new toy. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that. And then as soon as you do it, you think to yourself, oh, why did I do that? You know, like it derails you. You can be derailed very easily from things
very
like
easy.
That. You know, and if I'm writing in something and my writing's like meh, feeling meh, someone and shiny new toy comes along, I'm just out of there.
Yeah. It's easier, isn't it?
Yeah,
very totally easy is. In some ways. Yeah. Or it takes the pressure off. Or I don't know what it is. But at the end of the day, the truth is, if you don't do the things that you said you were going to do to get something bigger done, it doesn't happen. And you know, I mean, you just have to accept that the responsibility can only lie with you. Don't do
Damn
words
it.
If you don't. If you don't, you know, work out how to do something properly, like an ad or whatever. It lies with you, and you
know, everything
you have
lies
to find
with
a better
you.
Way, or an easier way, or a more something that sits better with you to get it achieved.
And it's a blessing and the curse, isn't it, of self-publishing? It all lies with you.
But also, I think you've got to know yourself, know thyself a little bit there. You know, like Trudy's a goal setter. I think Shah's a goal setter. I'm not a goal setter. Cher, you're a halfway girl in between.
I think you are a
goal setter. Let me explain.
Go.
So what I'm saying is I don't start the year and go, I want this to reach this goal, this goal, this goal, this goal.
How many books you're going to write.
Yeah, but that's just my job. What I do. But what I'm saying is that I don't. You
had the planning session before any of the rest of us had our planning session.
Yeah, but what I don't make
You're talking a lot of nonsense
here. I don't call them goals.
Yeah. So you trick yourself.
So goals, because if I don't achieve them, then, it's not a goal setting thing. It's planning. That's the difference. It's not goal setting. It's planning.
I think what that is possibly is
semantic.
Whatever terminology works for you is the way that semantic. It works best. Absolutely fine. I would say if it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck.
You don't have goals in your everyday job, do you? Every year?
Yeah.
You do. You have like KPIs that you have to achieve.
A goal is a KPI.
Is if goal. You don't achieve it, what's a goal words? In your mind? Different this words. Is funny.
No, it's different. Planning and goals are different.
No.
Oh, that's interesting. But hey, look, we are open to all
Who are we to judge you? For goodness sake.
We're not judging you.
I just think it's funny that she doesn't think she sets goals.
I don't like the idea of setting goals.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well,
it's absolutely fine. Yep. As long as the sticker's involved, you can do whatever.
Oh, not puppy stickers.
This is the general stickers and washi tape.
No goals, no puppy stickers.
No.
Okay, so that's cool. We're having an argument about whether it's a goal or a plan, but what what I want to ask is if you're in a dark moment in the year and it's like you're 3/4 of the way through the year and you're not finishing the book that you know that you need to have finished by a certain date, or if Amazon does something crazy and changes all the algorithms and you can't do what you normally do, or the latest launch didn't go according to plan how you hoped, what do you do? Like, what's our...
You go back to your support system, whether it's a reference book or a group, or it's a audit writers that you know, or it's complete strangers, like in a writing group, that you maybe ask for help. Like sometimes it can be really helpful having an external pair of eyes looking at something.
Mm-hmm. That's
recently,
cool.
Or hire a coach, as Trudy did. Like there's different, there's lots of different support services now, way more than there were 5 years ago.
Just Facebook groups that you know are looking to share, you know, that the knowledge is being harvested organically within itself, you know, and I think that's a really good place. That's a cost-free place, you know. It's like the cost is maybe just putting yourself out there when it feels uncomfortable, because you know sometimes you just have to, if you want to achieve, you just have to put yourself out there a little bit.
And I think the other thing is to remind yourself that it's a journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And just because there's this one moment of not achieving what you need to achieve or had hoped you would achieve doesn't mean that it's always going to be like that. Past success or failures doesn't indicate future. You can make changes or you can
keep
going.
That's a very good point, Trudy. That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we are up to beat number 7. The joyful, well, it says a joyful defeat. I'm not sure about we want to be saying defeat, but resolution.
I prefer resolution.
Yeah.
I'm not big on that.
The joyful resolution. So in the ending of a rom-com where everyone's happy and they've sorted all the conflicts out and we've gotten over the dark moment and it's all happy again. Yay.
Yeah.
So what will you do to celebrate the completion of your 2023 tasks? What are we going to do? I had party with the Spa Girls, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we should really try to do that this year.
We were such slackers in 2022.
We were.
Oh, my God. And I also had go on writing treat with the Spy Girls also.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had go to an international writers conference, so I had that down as well.
That's a goal for me this next year.
Yeah.
That's going to be my cherry on the top for this year.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
So that's cool. Awesome. Well, we're all agreed. Yay. We're going to international
somewhere
this
we're
year.
Great.
Maybe
we're
Paris.
Has
Paris got one?
I'm
sure Paris has got one we can go to, isn't it? Paris, Milan, you know, I don't know, Bay Ritz. There's got to be somewhere like that. That's got a conference we can go to.
Is Bay Ritz a place? I feel like that's
a place.
It's Oh, favorites is in France, and it's wonderful. Oh. I've been there, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Yeah. Clearly, my ignorance is showing. Okay, so that is the end of the episode. We have done 7 romantic comedy beats and 7 aspects of setting goals for 2023. So hopefully, you've all gotten something out of that. And
I'd just like to it's kind of to wrap everything up, but also just to finish off on the support thing. Don't forget that if you come to patreon.com/spargirlspodcast, there's a level, a $10 a month tier there that you can join our Facebook group, which is a private Facebook group, and it's a self-publishing mastermind. We're available there. So if you're wanting to find people that understand, I mean, we've obviously got fellow Spa Girl supporters in there as well, but it's everybody's sort of working towards the same things, you know, different levels, different stages of the careers, and we will answer anything that you want answered in there. So I just wanted to give a shout out for that. If you're looking for a community, that's a great place to start.
Awesome, good idea.
You can celebrate with us, and we will celebrate everybody's success in there with you.
We will have maybe we should have a Facebook party in the group next year at the end.
Put that down as a goal.
I'm too busy dancing here. Don't plan to write things down.
All right. So let us know if you need to resonate or otherwise. And let us know maybe in the comments what your, if you're looking at this on YouTube, what your favourite rom-com is.
All right.
Which of my dances you preferred.
And you can find us at Spa Girls Podcast all over the place.
Just come
and see us.
That's us. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Spa Girls Podcast. We'll be back again next week. But for now, farewell. Bye.